I do want to give some thank yous as a part of my internship. I want to thank Brother Larry, especially for the guidance he has given me throughout my journey here throughout the summer of being with you guys here at Cary. I want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity. And I do want to thank the Ords for allowing me to stay with them throughout the entirety of the summer. Secondly, for our lesson tonight, we won't be looking at his word today because Brother Larry gave me permission to preach on what I wanted to preach on for my final lesson. So we're going to do that. So we'll take a break from his word tonight. So I thought to myself, what would be a good lesson to finish off? And it's actually kind of an older lesson that I've preached before many years ago. And I've gone back and remastered it, I guess, with what I've learned throughout this internship. There are many people in this world who dedicate their lives to saving people and protecting their country. In many cases, great sacrifices are made in which lives are lost to protect individuals from danger. Their lives for the greater good and are honored and remembered by many around the world for years to come. And while their sacrifices were done with sheer bravery, we take time out of our day to make sure we don't disrespect the names of the people who have given their lives for their country. We are willing to do that for heroes and saviors, if you will, around the world who have given their lives for the greater good. But why is it that sometimes we forget to recognize the ultimate sacrifice that was made for all of us 2,000 years ago by Jesus on the cross? As Christians, we may sometimes overlook or take for granted what happened on that day on Golgotha. Sure, some of us may remember it during the Lord's Supper, and we certainly should. But why don't we remember it on a more consistent basis, given the enormity of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? We can look at these heroes I've been mentioning earlier who have sacrificed their life for their country, and we can call them a hero, or perhaps a savior. Today, I want us to look at the greatest example of a sacrifice from Jesus Christ when he saved us from our sins. We call Jesus our savior. But have we sat down and thought about what that truly means? His sacrifice gave us so much more than we can even imagine. I want us tonight to see what it means to see Jesus as the Savior. Let's go back to the first few chapters of Genesis, back to the Garden of Eden. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were sinless and in the presence of God. And God told them that God gave them one rule as a result. God told them that they could eat of any tree in the garden, according to Genesis 2, verses 16 through 17. He told them they could eat of any tree except for one, and that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, as the events go, the serpent comes up to Eve and begins to tempt her with that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, "So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree that God told them to not eat out of, they died spiritually that day. They died spiritually that day by committing the first sin of the world. One sin separated them from God. And from that point on, it seemed that the story would end there. However, God made a promise there in Genesis chapter 3. When he was punishing the serpent in verse 15, God said, "I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And that was the promise of Jesus Christ as our Savior from the very beginning of time. Through that lineage, Jesus would be born to defeat Satan through death. Mankind was lost the moment Adam and Eve
sinned in the garden. But God promised us a Savior that would help us find a way back to God and save our souls. Let's go back to Jesus' life. And there are three things I would like us to look at tonight that shows us what it means to see Jesus as our Savior. First off, the first thing that he saved us from when he died on the cross was that he saved us from a meaningless life. In John 10, in verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The first thing that Jesus gives us by his sacrifice is a purpose in our life. God gave us physical life, and more importantly, he gave us a spiritual life. And if not for the death, not for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, then we would have nothing to live for, and our lives would be completely desolate and void. I mean, if Jesus did not die for the forgiveness of our sins, then we would have been lost to those sins forever, and there would be no point to doing what we're doing here today. John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus says in this verse, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is hope and purpose in our lives because Jesus shows that there is, in fact, a way through him. And with this purpose in our lives, how exactly should we live that life? Well, there are numerous examples in the Bible which show us how to live the Christian life. And one I want to look at specifically tonight is in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And it says, "And he, being Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on.'" So while all the rich people were putting in large sums of money, basically what equated to nothing in their terms, this poor widow took these two copper coins, which was all that she owned, and she gave that sacrifice to the treasury. And with that, that's how we should be in our Christian lives. That is exactly what living a meaningful life is. There may have to be times where we have to give up a lot of things to follow Christ. That widow may not have given the greater amount than the rest of the people, but she made the greater sacrifice by giving all that she owned. And in this day and age, we may not have to sacrifice as much as they did back in Jesus' day. But there may come a day where we have to give up something of great value in order to remain Christ-like. And it can be something that causes us to stumble or causes others around us to sin. And that is what living a meaningful life for Christ is. It's sacrifice. It is giving all of ourselves to the life he wants us to live, just like he gave all of himself so that we could have that life through him. But not only did he save us from a meaningless life, he also saved us from our sins. When sin was brought upon the world during Adam and Eve's time, mankind was set on a path to eternal destruction. Sin so corrupted the world at one point that God had to send a great flood over the entire earth to destroy it, except for Noah and his family. And as we all know, sin is a part of all of our lives. And that's exactly what it says in Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There was only one way that there was going to be a solution to being saved from a sinful life. Jesus, as the only sinless man to walk on this earth, had to die upon a cross, suffer the most cruel death imaginable, and take all of our sins upon himself. Jesus suffered through all that to give forgiveness of sins for everyone that has, currently is, and ever will walk on this earth. He was capable of sin. He may have been the Son of God, but he could have sinned if he wanted to, especially when he was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. But God loves us so much that if only one man on the entire planet were to ever sin just once in all of time, Jesus would have still gone through that same horrific death just for that one person and one sin. He would have still done the exact same thing he did for all of us back in that 2,000 years ago. And that is how much Jesus loves us. Greater love hath no man than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. John 15 and verse 13. And living the Christian life and trying to live as sinless as possible will not let that death be in vain. Living that meaningful life and staying as sinless as possible, that's what it's all about. But lastly, tonight, he saved us from a meaningless life, he saved us from our sins, and most importantly, he saved us from the grave. 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, he was resurrected from death, he was raised from the dead, and lived on the earth for 40 more days. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached, he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God before, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. When Jesus died, what happened after that? After Jesus died, the disciples went home thinking that their Savior was gone and that there wasn't any hope left. Jesus had died as the Messiah, and after that point, the disciples were like, well, what do we do now? They had no direction of where they were going at that point. And if Jesus could not rise from the dead, then what's the point at all of living the Christian life? Why are we wasting our time sacrificing all that we do? Because if Jesus could not conquer death itself, then how is it that he is going to be able to save us in death as well? And Paul answers that question for us, continuing in verses 20 through 22 in our passage over here, where it says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Because he lives, we have hope for tomorrow and hope for all eternity. Jesus came and lived on this earth to show us how to live a life acceptable in God's eyes. He died to save us from a sinful death and rose from the grave so that one day we can rise to live eternally with him. He saved us based on life, death, and the resurrection. Jesus was a Savior then, and he is a Savior today as well. And no matter how much you've sinned, if you're willing to repent of those sins and live the Christian life, God can still bring you back to him if you are willing to repent of those sins. I want to share with you a passage, well, not a passage, but a verse in one of the songs we sing, like I did last week, showing the love of God, the love that God has. And it's in verse 3 of the song, The Love of God. We sang it a couple of weeks ago, and I've always thought about this verse, and I always thought this verse was really good. It says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever more endure the saints' and angels' song." That is how much God loves us. We can't even be able to truly describe how much God loves us because we won't even be able to put into words how much he does. And not only did he provide us salvation, but he provided for us a church family and loving members inside of it. And I've definitely seen that at this congregation throughout my time here. And I greatly appreciate that kind of love that I've seen in all of you guys in this congregation. And we need to have that love that God shows us. This evening, if you are not a child of God, then I pray that you come to him by believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then being baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, so that you too can consider Jesus as your Savior and become a part of his loving body. And if you are a Christian tonight, and maybe you've forgotten how much Jesus has given you in this life, or maybe you have any other needs, I pray that you come forward tonight as we stand and as we sing.